begin, welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Post-Holiday Cookie Coma with Jick and Mr. Skullhead. I am Mr. Skullhead, and we should have Jick on the line unless something's gone horribly wrong.
Yep, and I don't think anything has gone horribly wrong. Merry Christmas, Mr. Skullhead. We haven't been on the radio together in a while.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. We were blocked from our last show by the unfortunate appearance of preterm labor. That's
better than midterm labor. That always sneaks up on me, and I've never studied for it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Somebody just comes over and goes, "Hey, you have to shovel this sidewalk now." Like, I'm studying. Yeah, I fell apart. Yeah,
I haven't shoveled a sidewalk since I was a child.
Yeah, that's because you don't live in the land of the ice and snow.
Do you use a snow shovel? Do you have one of those crazy things that C.D. Moyer got?
Oh no, I don't have a snow blower. I'm not fancy like that. Occasionally, one of our neighbors will go up the entire block with his, which makes sense to me. Like if you have a machine that is capable of shoveling a walk in, say, a 20th or a 50th of the time it takes to do it manually, don't you think you would just walk up the entire block and save everybody else the trouble?
Well, I mean, I probably would the first time I used it, right?
Instead of pulling the thing out and gassing it up and then running it for like the 12 feet in front of your house and putting it away?
Yeah.
And stopping at both property lines?
It seems like an organized area could, you know, go in together on one.
Yeah. And then I could run it because I'm always home.
So speaking of C.D. Moyer, I think I've discovered the actual worst thing for you about not being here at the home office in Mesa, Arizona, is that you don't get to play with the Christmas presents that C.D. Moyer sent to the office.
That is a shame. What did C.D. Moyer send to the office?
A lot of Nerf guns, a 5x5 Rubik's Cube for Riff, and a basket of various nuts and fruits and goodies.
Hmm. And so a Rubik's Cube that's perfectly okay if you're Faith?
Yes, or the dropship captain from Aliens.
Right. I still wonder, like, 5 watt by 5 watt.
And I looked it up, and there was some explanation that may or may not have been apocryphal. But, yeah. So I opened those today. I didn't. They'd been sitting there for a long time, and I think nobody knew who they were for, because they all just said asymmetric publications on them.
What we also haven't received yet is the DVD, like the master DVD for the documentary.
That one did show up here.
Huh. Because I sent him my address.
On it. Yeah. Huh, he said he sent you one too?
Yeah, he said he was going to. I don't know if he actually did.
Ours got here. I feel like it showed up like on Christmas Eve or the day before, and then I watched it with my mom and my wife. It was pretty good. So as soon as Hot Stuff gets back, I'll pass it off to him, and then he's already got the names and the information for the actual production company sent out, and a few last minute. How much money do you get for these decisions made on the between me and the filmmaker? And then it'll be. I don't know how long it'll take to get them printed. I have no idea what the turnaround on something like that would be. I can't think that there's any good reason for it to be more than a week or two.
Yeah, but, and depending on what kind of volume they're used to dealing with. Like I could make a bunch of copies of it in a week or two, even just using my computer.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel like I don't want to, it's much, much cheaper. You can get them done on burned CDs in bulk very cheaply.
Yeah.
But I kind of would feel better if it was I would feel better about selling it if it was a, you know, actual pressed aluminum DVD.
Yeah, I do.
They're not that much more expensive. I mean, the unit cost ends up being like three times as much as a burned CD or a burned DVD. But I also feel like a pressed one is going to last longer.
Yeah, and it'll be
I always have this kind of fear, and I think part of it was from some sort of panic mongery in the early days of burned CDs, but I always have this fear that, like, the stuff that I have on CDs that is now pushing, like, 15 years old is just not going to be accessible if I put the CD in a drive. But
only if you get some moisture in there and it starts to... You know, they can get moldy and whatnot inside of the plastic.
How would you get moisture in a... if you clean them in the dishwasher?
Yeah.
I set up my new workstation today, which those fans following the Twitter would know. Had a few troubles with it, but by and large, I've gotten everything set up except for my scanner. So I plugged in the scanner, and Windows was like, "Do you want me to look for drivers?" And I'm like, "No, because I haven't installed them yet." And then now, anytime I plug the scanner in, it just doesn't do anything. It never brings up the "You've inserted some new hardware into one of the holes on this box."
So now you can make Apple's heads explode.
I was angry at it getting the wrong hole the first time.
Hmm. Yeah, they don't tend to like that. How did you get it in there?
How did I get what?
Nothing.
You've heard the joke about the guy, the businessman who vacations in Japan, and is making love to a local woman, and she repeats a phrase over and over again, and he thinks that's a phrase meaning you're doing a good job. And then when he goes golfing with a Japanese man the next day, he utters that phrase, and the Japanese man says, "What do you mean wrong hole?" So I had a handful of things that I wanted to talk about because it's been so long since we've been on the radio. What did Santa Claus bring you?
I got a pretty excellent set of Ultimate Sandman books, which wasn't expected but was appreciated from Satan and I think Carlos Santana and Natasha and Satan. So I'm,
they're all four supposed to be different. Is it Santa, Satan, Natasha, and Carlos Santana?
Something like that, yeah. They were all different, but then on the manifest they all said that they came from Mr. Zach Johnson.
Oh.
I said, awesome.
Yeah, I'm about three quarters of the way through the third one, reading the ones that I bought ostensibly for my wife, but realistically for me. And I'm sort of irritated to see new Sandman comics in the comic shop.
They're not by Gaiman, though.
They're not.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, because I, like, as much as I don't want to be like, "Hey, asshole, be done making this awesome stuff," I kind of was like, okay, this is going to be the last set of these that I start buying, because that's nuts, man. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, he did a...
They look all Asian. I'm not feeling the Asian ones.
Yeah, he did a... He did two books after the Sandman series. There's Dream Hunters, which is almost like a short story with some neat art in it, and then Endless Nights, which is like a collection of four short story, or short graphic novel-ish things, whatever. But then also other people have been doing expanded universe kind of stuff with his.
Oh, I see. Somebody got me an autographed copy of Endless Nights.
There's some good stuff there. I'm just pleased to see the volume one has always, like, in its print form, has always been kind of ugly.
Yeah.
The art for the first couple of story arcs. And looking at it now, like, big so you can see all the detail and recolored so the color's not bleeding in weird directions, it looks fantastic.
Huh. I don't, I read them 4 or 5 years ago. I think I got the first, like, three of the books, the trade paperback collections of that one set. And I don't remember thinking ill of it, but I also... It takes a lot for me to like the art in a comic book, and art that I don't like is kind of the same as any other art that I don't like.
Right.
Slowly making it through The Watchmen as I poop here at work.
I reread that recently. You haven't been through it before?
No, I never had. I never quite got into it. I like the art. I especially don't like the art.
That surprises me.
It's got that, like, Mary Worth quality. Like, when I see that art, I think, this is boring. Because, like, the comic strips in the newspaper that look like that when I was a kid were the ones that, why the fuck would anyone read this?
Well, so yeah, but for that, like, for Watchmen, I always just think the art is completely neutral. Like, it's not annoyingly stylized in any particular direction. It's just kind of doesn't get in the way. I mean, there's Alan Moore's From Hell. I actually haven't ever gotten through because the art is so terrible. Mm. But I guess it's like referentially terrible. It's supposed to look like the terrible artwork that was popular in a magazine when Jack the Ripper was walking the streets of London. So it's like terrible on purpose for a reason, but it's still just fucking terrible. Looks like something.
And a reference to something that no one alive has ever seen.
Yeah, and it's kind of. It just looks like the. You know, the kid in junior high who read a bunch of Ninja Turtles comics and started trying to draw and couldn't quite figure out how to make faces work? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing? Yeah, it's that.
I see. I never read any of the Ninja Turtles comics, but I would kind of. I would not mind a collection of those, you know. Like, I would buy a trade paperback of them just to see. Because I like me some Usagi Yojimbo.
Now, that I've never read any of.
It's
so
like,
much of it.
It's the same story over and over again, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's a good story.
Gotcha.
A lot of spirits of, like, whenever something dies, they, like, say, skull. Like, a little wisp coming out of them with a skull in it that indicates that they've died. my mother got me a PlayStation 3.
Wow.
So, I've been playing Valkyria Chronicles, which is kind of like a alternate history, World War One, World War Two tactic action game.
Huh.
With like 7 or 8 cutscenes for every interactive level, but it is yet to really start bothering me.
So it must be very special indeed.
It's an interesting game. I think it succeeds on a lot of levels, despite it's the kind of thing that I think if it had been described to me, I would have said I'm not interested in this at all. But yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing some more of it.
Yeah, other than the your gifts were pretty much the big gifts of the year, so I went kind of light on requesting gifts from anybody else. And, like, the wife and I don't really exchange gifts. I got a set of long underwear from my parents.
Sweet.
That was excellent. And got the new. There's a new Neil Gaiman book and a new Terry Pratchett book that just came out. So.
Really, what's the Neil Gaiman one?
It's called The Graveyard Book. And it's apparently the Jungle Book only in a graveyard. You
it's
probably
like
read about
the
it on Boing Boing. Yeah. Which is how I found out about it.
The Pretentious Artist bought me a copy of The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell, which I've read most of since then. I have that guy's a good storyteller, sort of. Like, he can take things that aren't particularly interesting and make them really engaging.
That's weird, because I have kind of the opposite superpower.
Yeah.
Hmm. I could describe stripper night at the sorority house and make it sound like a mathematics lecture.
Another thing. C.D. Moyer also sent a calendar for the bathroom of Boris Vallejo's the art.
Excellent.
Although, I think I'm going to have to wait till February to put it up, because January is just this big muscle-bound dude.
Hmm. That'll make it easier to pee.
Some big muscle-bound dude staring at me.
Well, you know, when you're really especially interested in the picture, it makes it hard to point the right direction.
Oh,
I'm talking
I
about
see.
Having a boner, Jake. Have you ever had a boner?
I don't know, I've heard about them.
Read about them on the internet.
A few weeks ago, he popped his first boner. Do you know what that is? You've seen Parenthood, haven't you?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it would be any good. I wonder if I would think it was any good if I saw it now. For some reason, I really like it. I mean, it's got that same kind of Love Actually vibe, where it's just like a bunch of interconnected, somewhat depressing stories.
Yeah.
About people. Yeah.
I watched that again.
You should
for Christmas.
Was that?
I watched Love Actually again on Christmas. I think that's becoming a new Christmas tradition. Is after you watch Christmas Carol, and I watched the George C. Scott Christmas Carol, the Muppet Christmas Carol, and The Nightmare Before Christmas, and then you just kind of need something that's got a little more edge to it.
I see. We watched it also. It was kind of an accident. I always forget that it's a Christmas movie. Yeah, I got my wife got me a Mr. Beer, so I can, self-contained enough and quick enough that I might actually brew some beer.
Oh, that's kind of groovy.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll have to make some labels for bottles. Maybe I'll mail you a beer.
You should just mail me the incubating beer and send it by the slowest thing you can send it.
Right, send it like book rate.
Yeah.
I guess we could hop into questions. There are enough, but not too many. RDFM says, "Hey guys, love the show. Really enjoyed doing the spooky Stradivarius quest in Fallout 3. Maybe KOL should try that. Send us looking for the Dirt Bugle or the Blind Lemon Cello." I don't get the Blind Lemon Cello.
Lemon Cello is a drink.
Yeah, no, I know.
And Blind Lemon is a musician. But he didn't
really?
Play cello. Yeah.
So there's Blind Lemon and Blind Melon?
Well, Blind Lemon was just a dude. And it's like an old blues travel.
I see. And what about Dirt Bugle? Yeah, I don't get either of these jokes, RDFM.
For some reason, because of the character, the old character who used to date you, I guess, Dirt Burglar.
Oh, right.
Dirt Bugle made me think Turd Burglar pretty much immediately.
Right. Ah, Turd Burglar. Speaking of Limoncello, a couple things. Hot Stuff got my wife for Christmas a packet of those Miracle Berry tablets from Think Geek.
Mm-hmm.
Or Miracle tablets, the things that take sour things and make them sweet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to having a party where I get everything I can think of that's sour. And then we just sit around going, wow, dude.
Remember when we used to do drugs?
So we're going to make some limoncello this year. My lemon tree is becoming laden, round yon tree. Weekend.
My Christmas tree died an early and unfortunate death.
Your Christmas tree?
Yeah, it just lost its will to live. We've already taken it down. The day after Christmas. It had been turning kind of slightly lighter green slowly, and no matter how much water we put in, it didn't want to drink it.
Huh.
Mine
did pretty well. I only had it for like a week before Christmas, though.
We put up ours fairly early because we were expecting the baby to come early.
I see.
Didn't want to get stuck with a baby and no tree.
Okay. I thought you were planning on doing some sort of natural birth where you actually had your wife give birth into a tree.
No, she hangs in the tree. And I wait below with a blanket to catch the baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a tall tree.
No.
I got a really tall tree last year, and my wife made fun of me, and then I got a really short tree this year, and my wife complained about it. So I'm beginning to think I can't win on a Christmas tree.
Didn't we learn... If I learned anything about anything this year, it's that there are some people who are always going to complain.
Let's see. Turbulent Squirrel says, "I'm loving Crembo this year as always, but I noticed something was missing. Fancy chocolates and fruitcake. Are the penguins hoarding our goodies?" Well, the implied joke was that an irradiated mutant fruitcake is indistinguishable from a regular fruitcake. So, didn't bother making one of those. And we didn't put any chocolates in because the crates were already introducing some of the old chocolates. And I'm kind of reluctant to, because the fancy chocolates and the Vito Choco Nutrient capsules and the fancy but probably evil chocolates all are on, like, different turn counters.
Hmm.
I was sort of reluctant to add a fourth one because it's just, like, adding more and more to the sort of theoretical maximum number of adventures on a stunt. Just up in the, like, fucking 1600s now.
Yeah, a single day.
Yeah, I mean, it basically would never happen. You know, it would you'd have to have been around, and you know, it's like drink 8 time juices.
Hmm.
That kind of thing. Like, let's see. Raudin says you should be able to fight the Mob Penguin with a thesaurus with your facsimile dictionary. I don't know that. Do you think a dictionary is the opposite of a thesaurus?
I don't think so. As long as that penguin's using words correctly, and I believe that he is, it wouldn't do you any good to read to him from the dictionary because he already knows.
Unless you wanted to put him to sleep.
Yeah. Unless you're one of those guys who you can read the dictionary and it's interesting.
Mm.
And if you're that
guy. If you read him the Great Gatsby, he would probably just get mad at all the could of and should of. Motherfucker. I don't like The Great Gatsby.
I noticed. Does it bother you in Mark Twain stuff, the dialect? Dialect?
No. Dialogue? Do you think should of in The Great Gatsby was... It was never correct. It was always incorrect. And I guess... I don't remember ever encountering it outside of spoken word, but...
I thought it was kind of the narrator's dialect. I've never actually read The Great Gatsby, so... You know, apparently I'm not missing much. But yeah. You're kind of cutting out. You should stop doing that. Yeah. Found the cure to the jick of the 20th century and I lost it. You back?
Yeah, I think I'm back. Are you back?
Yeah, we're all here.
Right back?
Yeah, you were kind of just dropping out. It was very strange.
Yeah. Well, I had tuned in and turned on.
And then you dropped out?
Yeah. I had noticed for the entirety of our conversation a little more than average delay in our back and forth things.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know. It could be. Sullivan said he was having some trouble with his internet connection between where he was and KOL specifically. So I wonder if there's some weird Phoenix area internet problems or what. Could be this new computer too. It could hate my Ethernets.
Yep.
Anyway, SnuffCell420 said, any hints on trophy number 68? Is any player close to getting it? It's not the kind of thing that you can be more or less close to getting, so I can't really answer that question. That I guess, is a hint about some things that it is not. You know, it's not eating a certain number of a certain thing or anything. Weird says, could you put a pants item drop in Crimbo Town? My Crimbo outfit is kind of drafty. I was raised with the understanding that it's inappropriate to wear pants during the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Yeah. Grethko says, first 15 summons today were all divine cans of silly string. Huh. Huh, indeed.
Should that happen?
Well, I mean, it's possible for it to happen. Gleeb says, do the 4 newest Crimbo monsters all have the same drop rate for their respective consumable and equipment? Yes, they do, as far as I know. They were supposed to. Evil Kitten says, will the Comet Chameleon be able to breathe underwater if it's one of the familiars that can survive down there? I have not bothered to code that, but I was thinking about it, and I think that I could pretty easily do it. So maybe I'll put that on my ever-growing list of shit to do from the radio station, from the radio show. Let's see. Jump the Shark says, "Yo, dog, we heard you like cars, so we put a car in your car so you can drive while you drive."
Am I missing something?
Oh, man, the Finch's Artist also got me this little bitty remote control R2-D4.
Huh.
It's like 2 inches tall, and the remote control is a tiny little lightsaber. It just has two buttons, one of which makes the thing move forward and one of which makes it spin counterclockwise. Huh. So it's like, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing what they, like, toys are fucking amazing now.
Yeah, I've been looking for some of the Wally toys, but they kind of vanished as soon as they came out.
Yeah, like, I was looking for that big fancy one to get you for Christmas, and I just couldn't find any reference to it anymore. I had found it, like, early on when I decided that that's what I would get you, and it was like, it's not out yet, so I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll check closer to Christmas, and then I just looked around and could not find what it was that I had found before.
Yeah, that's probably for the best, I think. Sooner or later, I want to get one of the... There are a couple that are remote-controlled, but I don't think anybody needs to have the super amazing one.
Yeah.
I just like knowing that it exists.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, it can't really possibly be as cool as you think it's going to be, you know? But remote control helicopters that are like $20.
There's two of them and you can fight with lasers.
Oh, yeah, that was neat, too.
Those were awesome. If I had any friends here, I would But it would be
you
really
could try
sad
having left hand versus right hand battles.
I was just going to say, it would be really pathetically sad for me to sit there with a controller in each hand. Like, go, left hand, go.
I wonder how the battery life is on those things. I was surprised by the little ones don't seem to have a... you seem to only be able to, like, rotate them and move them forward. You don't seem to be able to move them up and down, which is weird.
What, the helicopters?
Yeah.
I think you can use the... There's just a... trigger for running the rotor
to move. I don't know. I saw one of the smaller ones did not have this, but the bigger ones had a. They were specifically advertising the feature of there being you being able to control, like, what is it? Not pitch or yaw. No, maybe yaw. You can control yaw, and then you can go up and down and forward and backward.
That yaw was just roll, though. That's kind of weird.
Golgothica says, "The underpants attack message for the dandelion is grammatically a bit confusing. It only refers to the enemy as him, which to me reads as referring to the dandelion." And then he says, what he meant was, it was from the underpants message is the plastic pumpkin bucket, not the dandelion. It's a bit strange to have the... another question. It is a little strange, because it's like, you know, familiar name... puts his underpants in the refrigerator and then hands them back to him. Which, to me, if you read the whole sentence, it's no longer confusing, but...
If you're fighting a monster that's plural or female, though...
Well, it doesn't always say his. That's the thing. It doesn't look weird to us because... It didn't look weird when it was written because it was like, familiar name hands possessive underwear to accusative.
Yeah, it's funny that we did this whole... set of variables so that we could avoid using, like, your enemy, your opponent, your foe. But that led to a lot of grammatically confusing structures.
Yeah, I mean, I still end up using a lot of your opponent in there when I...
Yeah, although it does lead me to be able to say, he hands him his blah, blah, blah. I mean... the enemy's thing, not yours, and kind of go on for a paragraph and kind of like...
Right.
For some reason, that, like, grammatical or ontological or what have you, spasm is one of my favorite things to write. just kind of freaking out about getting punctuation or grammar correct.
And then so much stuff that we do, so much stuff where we, people look at the stuff that we do because of our own particular quirks and theories about the way that things should be. Right. It just looks like we're wrong. I, for one, feel like there should be a lot of commas everywhere in every sentence.
I really like using the m dash punctuation as a sentence construct, but using the apparently wrong and bizarre punctuation that my graduate level English teacher drilled into my head.
Which is what?
Using two hyphens with spaces around mm-hmm. them instead of a single long dash without spaces around them.
Huh. Yeah, I always use two hyphens with spaces around them.
I think that's what you do when you're doing it on a typewriter.
Yeah.
And I do all of my KOL on a typewriter.
Also, two spaces after every sentence because of that.
Yeah, the transcription work that the company recently took me to task for putting two spaces after every period. To the point where I have to stop and refit myself when I go to write Kingdom stuff to put two spaces in, because goddammit, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter when we do it, because the way that browsers render the text, there's no difference between one space and two. Because it ignores extraneous white space, and it counts more than one space in a row as extraneous white space.
I don't know.
Proton PR says, could we get a mall search function that lets us search for outfit name? There's no reason, I guess, that it couldn't do a fuzzy matching kind of thing on that. I want to tell C.D. Moyer to revamp the mall search pretty soon.
Because that information is listed in the item description, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I would really, compared to the rest of the stuff we've done, the mall search is really sort of ugly and non-functional. Like, not being able to go to the mall and, search for MP restorers seems like a really serious glaring omission. Not being able to, from the search results list, click on something and get details about it, I really feel like that should be a lot more usable. I like the flea market now. Fred Levi says, my favorite part about the condiments in Earthbound, he must have been listening to an old show, is that they weren't coded properly for in-battle use. Only one of the two items would be consumed, which means that by careful arrangement of your inventory, you could get unlimited uses out of really rare food items like the magic truffle and the rock candy, which heal mana points and give you +1 to a stat, respectively. Kind of an outdated subject, but I was listening to you talk about them on an old show. I think you got the description right. They automatically got used when you eat food, but they were automatic and only increased the effect of the food they went with. French fries and ketchup equals good, but French fries and cream isn't going to get you any extra HP. I don't know. French fries and cream sounds pretty good to me.
That's kind of fucked up. I've seen him do it.
You need to jump on the iPhone bandwagon, Mr. Skullhead. The Pretentious Artist got one the day before yesterday, and Riff is out getting one as we speak.
No.
One of us. It'll change your life, man.
Yeah. For one thing, I'm locked into a life of a douche. I've got 14 more months of my contract with T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Then I signed away to get my last less crappy than usual phone.
Right.
So
I've been I kind of got out of that situation a while back. Like, I feel like of the last 5 years, I've only spent 2 of those years under a phone contract, because I was just like, I'm going to pay the extra $50 or whatever for this phone to not have to do a 2-year contract, because I am twice as likely to get pissed off at this company within 2 years as I am within 1 year, and I just don't want to have to deal with, paying an extra $100 to cancel it, because sometimes being as like willfully principled as I am gets expensive.
Right.
Because, you know, yeah, I just don't like getting fucked over.
We have we've done pretty well with T-Mobile so far.
I had good luck with T-Mobile. I had switched to T-Mobile from AT&T, but not for any real reason. I just wanted to get... at one Comic-Con, I had gotten stranded without access to a computer, and something went wrong that I was really easy to fix. I just needed to be able to SSH into the server and fix it, mm-hmm. and I couldn't. I'm like, you know what? This shouldn't happen to me. So I got a Sidekick because it had a terminal app on it. And then I got tired of the Sidekick because the battery life was so terrible. Switched back to AT&T to get the iPhone.
Yeah. I think I'll probably, as I keep saying, I'll probably end up with the G1 and stick with T-Mobile. Because next year there'll be a different, like the next generation of the G1, which will probably be a little more stable and groovy.
I saw some girl at the bar the other night had some phone running Android. I don't know if it was the G1 or... Is the G1 the only phone that runs it now?
I think so.
Yeah, it was a G1. It seemed kind of flimsy is the only problem I had.
Hmm.
Like, the iPhone has a nice heft to it. Like, the iPhone is obviously metal and glass.
Right.
And this thing seemed like plastic. And like, yeah, I don't know. It was like, the touch stuff seemed kind of like an afterthought and wasn't nearly as responsive as the iPhone is. But, I mean, you know, it also folded out with a full keyboard, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's something I've been wanting out of a phone for a long, long time. I'm sure that the iPhone's keyboard is just fine once you get used to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It took me a while. It bothered at first. I was starting to get a little bit of buyer's remorse because I'm getting pissed off at the keyboard. But it's like the wasn't it you that finally convinced me to use T9?
Mm-hmm.
Like you yeah. just have to not pay attention to what you're typing until the word is over.
Right.
And far more often than not, it will correct things that you would have instinctively wanted to backspace and correct.
Huh.
But I still can't. I can't type with two fingers on it. Like I can't thumb type on the iPhone keyboard.
Hmm.
Even my index finger is kind of too fat to hit the right key a lot of the time, and I rely on that correction a lot. But I've gotten much, much, much faster at typing on it than I was at text typing, keypad typing.
I like my phone with the extra row of keys on either side of the numeric keypad, so that it has like a mini QWERTY keyboard.
Mm.
And that tends to go really fast, especially with the predictive text being all awesome. It's the first predictive text I've seen that learns. So it actually not only just when you add something, but if somebody sends me a message with a word that it doesn't know, it just adds it to the dictionary.
Huh. I don't know if the iPhone does that or not. It definitely will it'll stop correcting me after a couple of times of me typing something that it doesn't know.
Hmm.
But I don't know that it corrects other things to that. You know, it does. Because I had it correct something to I'GHT, which it can't have gotten that from anybody but me, I don't think.
Yeah.
Denarius says, new stuffies, new stuffies! Yeah. Maybe the claw game could be one of those Q1 underused content vectors.
Hmm.
It's going to be Q1 in a couple of days.
Are you ready?
Have you got your quarterly progress report ready to hand in?
I got a PowerPoint.
I need to talk to you about the cover sheet on that, Mr. Skullhead.
The cover sheet on my PowerPoint? You're the worst boss ever.
Linguini Lad says, why are we limited to 3 rice drops per day? And has it always been that way? Well... It has not always been that way, but that's because it is not that way now. You're not actually limited to 3. There's a trick. I wonder if anybody knows about that trick. Surely they do. Surely. Wow. it seems that they don't. Well, neat. somebody later suggested, and this is actually kind of really good, that make rice fermentable to give 3 bottles of sake, the way that you can make the other base bottles of booze by fermenting fruits.
Yeah, that's kind of groovy.
Tatter says, how many spoiler do I gotta eat to get the dragonfish? I've ate 4 already and got none. Why can't appear every other time like the Lucky Charms? Well, because they're different than the Lucky Charms. And more than 4, apparently, in your case. Mr. Rar says... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Mr. Rar says, what are the odds that the bitchin' meat car industry in KOL will collapse? Great minds think alike. Yeah, what we really want to do is...
We have a $700 billion meat bailout.
And we want to bring in some of the cheerier events in the real world into KOL. We want to make sure that if you're playing KOL to escape the economic hard times that grip our globe, that we're going to bring those right in to the game for you. Because there is no escape.
There is no escape in here.
Yes,
that line I'm really familiar with from... Natural One Killers, because it's one of the lines that's quoted on the soundtrack. I really wish that I could get that soundtrack without the clips from the movie.
Hmm. Are they integrated?
They just sort of like become parts of the songs in my head.
Huh.
They like play during the musical intros and outros to songs.
That is kind of annoying.
I mean, it's not... They're not done really obnoxiously, you know? It's like mixed to the point where it's not really interfering with the song, but it's... I still wish it wasn't there. Hey, what you drinking, Mr. Spellhead?
Leinenkugel's original, The Pride of Chippewa Falls. They can only sell 3.2% alcohol beer at the grocery store, and this is... That's the 1.32 beer then. Isn't horrible.
What? Fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
No, they didn't have that at my particular store. Also, I'm not a hipster douchebag, so...
You don't have to be a hipster douchebag to like Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You have to be a hipster douchebag to pretend to like Pabst Blue Ribbon, because nobody actually likes it. Because it's kind of gross.
I actually... Riff likes it. Riff doesn't even like beer. Pabst Blue Ribbon is the only kind of beer that Riff likes.
Doesn't that kind of suggest
that Riff
it's
is
not
a,
actually
is
beer?
Is a hipster poser douchebag? Yeah, he is on his way out to get an iPhone.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
This is the most random soundtrack I've ever seen.
What's that?
The... Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, it's so good.
I really... and we've talked about this before and disagreed before, but I heard the Lou Reed or the Velvet Underground Sweet Jane first, and then I heard the Cowboy Junkies one. It was like, Jesus Christ, this is so slow and boring, and why did they cut all the verses out? And yeah, couldn't stand it.
Huh. Boy, I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those like whatever you played first.
Yeah,
you know, like we're never going to agree. Like I think that Tony Hawk 3 was the best Tony Hawk, and you think that Tony Hawk 2 was the best Tony Hawk, and they're like I feel like everybody thinks that the first Tony Hawk that they played was the best Tony Hawk, and then that's it. Yeah. Every other one is just some shit you don't want, or a Tony Hawk game that does not have the shit that you do want.
Like, Tony Hawk 3 made me feel old because it moved so fast.
Tony Hawk 3, like, that was one of the only times that I've ever, like, really dealt with a game with a steep, steep difficulty curve or steep learning curve to begin with and actually gotten good at it. Mm-hmm. Usually, I do not have the patience for that shit, but I just, like... The inability to even make it through the tutorial in Tony Hawk 3 just pissed me off so much that I redoubled my efforts and actually got pretty good at it.
Instead of just quitting.
Yeah, it was quitting. Alright, I had never played one before. You know? Grinding the molten bucket, man. plagued my nightmares until I finally did it.
I never succeeded in that. I actually pulled out Tony Hawk 3 fairly recently and played it for like a day. And yeah.
On what?
On the PS2.
Yeah.
And just never got to the end of it. I think that was when my wife was at her school thing last summer. So like, I will play video games. I remember video games. And like, I am terrible at this video game. And I borrowed God of War 2 from Riff and went, my God, what have they done with video games? This video game is an excellent video game.
Did you play through God of War 2?
Didn't make it all the way through before I had to return it, but it was fun. I think what made it so I could play games like that is the invention of the walkthrough.
Yeah.
Like, I never played any of the old Zelda games, but I could probably play through them all and enjoy them now.
You never played... I thought you did. I thought that when we lived together, you played through A Link to the Past.
Yeah, Link to the Past is the only one that
I had. Oh, okay.
And that was after
it's,
the...
It's like, actually surprisingly obtuse, thinking back on it. Even, what the fuck? Am I... Ocarina of Time? The Zelda 64. It doesn't really tell you what to do, ever. Like, you forget. Like, you get used to playing modern games that very much, like, kind of railroad you through because they want you to see all of the stuff that they dedicated all these time developing art assets for.
Mm-hmm.
God of War, I played the first one, and I've started it, like, 3 times, and I just never come back to it after the first session of play. So I've seen as far into that game as I can play without, like, my fingers starting to hurt or having to pee. And that's it. The Gunrun says, if you could combine any two superheroes without their permission, who would you combine? I think I would combine Vampirella and Zatanna. And I wouldn't so much combine them as just put them together, like, on, like, a cot and see what happened.
Right. Yeah, are we talking about combining superheroes or mating superheroes? Because that's going to change my answer substantially. And if you're just combining them, I would have to say, clearly Dog Welder and Friendly Fire.
I don't know who those people are.
From, I was just looking at Garth Ennis's Hitman comic, and there was a kind of a lame superhero team. Dog Welder was the not so much hero, but just crazy guy who went around welding puppies to people's faces. And Friendly Fire was the guy who could shoot amazing laser beams but out of his hands, but he would always aim at the enemy, and at the last second his reptile brain would swing him around, and he would always hit somebody on his own team.
I see.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
You know what I'd like to have access to is Tom Waits' character from the Mystery Men movie? Like, I'd just like to have a source of fantastical non-lethal weaponry.
Oh, I was thinking you just wanted to have somebody around to go, here for the ladies.
Blizzbob says, you know how you could really grief the player base? By making K-mails take time to be delivered, like waiting until after rollover. If you ever need to be an asshole for a few days, I recommend this way. That's a good idea. We should also charge postage.
Didn't somebody suggest that because they were tired of getting too many K-mails or something?
Yeah, it could be. We should charge for saving K-mails to your outbox. You know, realistically, probably from an application design standpoint, there shouldn't be things that you can do that create rows and database tables at no resource cost to you. Because, you know, the ability to unlimitedly send and save K-mails is like, it has the potential to cause problems if somebody decides to use it as a, you know, we would catch it pretty quickly. It's not like it would be that big of a deal, but it is the kind of thing that, like, you know, a more professional development outfit would not consider doing. Squee says, I owe you hugs for making the Uniclops. When are you guys coming out to the California Bay Area to receive them?
I'd love to spend another week in San Francisco.
Did you spend a week in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, Christina invited us out, and she and her husband hosted us in their house, and she gave us this walking tour of, like, downtown San Francisco. Just kind of read a whole bunch of books to the point where, even without consulting them, she gave us this amazing, informative historical tour.
I see.
But, of course, like, downtown
San
Francisco...
Pastor gave me one of those of Boston once, but he was just making it all up. Well, he was making up about half of it, which made it more difficult to...
And he wouldn't tell you which half?
Yeah. I'd had to guess. I'm trying to decide whether it's worth it to go to GDC in San Francisco. Apparently the Austin one is not the sort of real one.
Mm-hmm.
If every day of GDC was the same as the last day of GDC, then I would say, all right, we are all going to this. It is worth it for every one of us to go to this. But, yeah, I just don't know. Also, I might be spending some time in New York in the spring. Hey, where is Minnesota?
North and in the middle.
So it's, like, north of, Kansas?
Yeah, like two states north of Kansas. You got Kansas and then Iowa and then Minnesota. Oh, we're actually, like, from Kansas City. It's maybe 8 hours by car.
I see. How far are you by car from New York City? Because it was, like, surprisingly easy to drive from the East Coast to Illinois.
By car from New York City is tricky because the Great Lakes are in the way.
Come in the winter, I can just drive across them, right?
Yeah. By snowmobile, we're not that far.
Sweet.
Let's see. It's funny how you're asking me questions and then I just look them up on Google Maps and it's exactly
I wouldn't say it's
what
funny.
You could have done.
Right.
But
I don't, you know, I have
20 hours from New York.
So. Wow, that's pretty rough.
Yeah. Which means, though, that, like, I could meet you in Chicago. It's 12 hours to Chicago.
That might be cool. Have you ever been to Chicago?
Yeah, earlier this summer. My mom graduated from Bible College there. So. A lot of cool buildings. We took an architecture tour, so when I think of Chicago, I just think of, like, nifty buildings.
Did you see that lighthouse that's been there forever?
Yeah.
I'm not a lighthouse, the water tower.
Yeah. No. What?
There's there's like a water tower downtown that's like this, the oldest building in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like something that survived the fire. I've enjoyed myself every time that I've been to Chicago. Like, I've been to Chicago, I feel like, twice for two different reasons in the last few years, and I've really enjoyed it.
I've spent a total of 2 days in Chicago. The first day I was convinced that Chicago was going to be another Boston, which is just, I kind of hate Boston for being the way that it's set up, how hard it is to drive, how hard it is to park, how aggressively anti-tourist it seems to be.
Huh.
And how it's... citizens are medieval peasants who are frightened by flashing lights. But, the first day in Chicago was just trying to get anywhere, trying to park anywhere. It was just completely frustrating, and I was afraid that I was going to have to hate Chicago, too. But once we got out of the car and kind of started taking public transport everywhere, Chicago revealed its brilliance. Yeah.
I've never been to Boston in a car. I've never been to Chicago in a car either. Like, the traveling that I've done lately, I tended to just, like, take nothing but public transit and cabs.
Hmm.
Or just, I mean, what I tend to do, like, the kind of vacation that I like is just staying somewhere where I can walk to everything that I need and just doing that. Because, I don't know. I don't like driving. Especially, I can't even imagine trying to drive in Boston. Like, even riding in a cab in Boston is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy driving in Boston, even a little bit. But we had this car, and they upgraded us to a van, so then we had a van in Boston.
Huh.
Yeah, that was problematic. Since we're still on the radio, though,
yeah.
Which I forgot for a minute there, but right at 42... said, am I not getting any Crimbo drops because my Hodgman outfit makes me look Jewish? Which, you know, was just a complaining about the Crimbo drop rates, but thought it was funny. Someone messaged me in chat the other day, was having kind of a crisis of faith, or, you know, feeling guilty about playing the Crimbo content because they were Jewish. And they were asking if we could give them some kind of Hanukkah or Hanukimbo gift, and I had to explain that Crimbo is not a religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Jesus or Jimbo or Jesus Crim perhaps.
Right.
So yeah, Crimbo is all of the commercial and secular elements of Christmas, and there's no Jesus in Kingdom of Loathing. So if it bothers you and kind of makes you feel guilty to play a game that doesn't have any Jesus in it, then you're still in trouble. But if you're Jewish, you can go ahead and play Crimbo. I don't know if we'll ever do Hanukimbo stuff.
But, yeah. What's that?
I don't know if we'll ever do any more Hanukimbo stuff. That was kind of a one-off.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be funny if Uncle Crimbo converted. Because he heard that he'd be able to save a lot of money on things.
Except swashed because...
So it turns out I was right when I, as was on the Twitter, I conjectured that a Google search for the phrase secular bell choir would have zero hits.
Because
if you search for secular bell choir, it now only hits that Twitter post.
Huh. So were you looking for some handbell music that wasn't all Jesus-y?
No, I wasn't. I was just, so we had been like, I think like, he wanted to go downtown in Mesa to pick up Zly's Christmas present. And I needed to get some stuff for my bike, so we just ran errands on bikes. And rode down to downtown Mesa where there was this weird, like, sort of Christmas festival-y thing going on. Yeah. And there was a bell choir playing, and I saw that it, as every other bell choir that I've ever seen, is a church organization. Which I don't really understand. Maybe I am the only non-churchy person who thinks that bell choirs are cool. I'm probably the only person on earth who thinks that bell choirs are cool.
I think the bell choirs are neat. And, you know, the music is pretty and it's fun to watch them do it. I just don't know what they would play if they weren't playing religious music.
I mean, I still don't consider Christmas music religious music, although, you know, I guess it basically is entirely about Jesus, so.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel that way, because it's part of a holiday. That finally occurred to me why it's so terrible going to stores during the Christmas season, because they're all playing Christmas music, but they won't play any Christmas carols. So it's really just like six songs and dozens of different versions of them over and over and over again. And you lose the, like, O Holy Night and First Noel and O Come All Ye Faithful. Like, these things that were written by people who actually know how to write songs. Like, sure, they're religious, but they've got a melody and they're pretty. And
as opposed to what, like?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah, okay.
My Favorite Things. Which, fuck My Favorite Things. What the hell?
I mean, that's not about Christmas at all, is it?
No, but it's in every holiday compilation now. And it's like fucking Bing Crosby singing My Favorite Things, and it sounds so wrong. Actually, no, not even a crooner. It's like the old school musical theater voice singing it, so like kind of a really wavy, you know, vibrato-y tenor singing this song that Julie Andrews was supposed to sing.
What's the song that's like, just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too?
Yeah, it's a sleigh ride.
Perfect weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Yeah, like I feel like that's the only Christmas song I heard. That song was playing everywhere.
Hmm.
And only the, yeah, but it didn't occur to me. Like it hasn't occurred to me to pay attention to that. Until you just said it. Like, yeah.
That's the malady that I suffer, is I can't not pay attention to music that's playing in public.
Well, I'm saying, not that I didn't pay attention to music, but I wouldn't have noticed the sort of absence of... Like, even instrumental versions of those songs they don't play, you don't think?
Right, and even, like, in previous years they've played, like, Elvis singing O Holy Night and shit like that, mm-hmm. but not anymore. And to me, that's the unfortunate thing about losing the Christ out of Christmas, is you lose the songs.
Right.
I guess. The things that make Christmas special and make Christmas music bearable.
I still want an album, and I don't think that they ever did this, but I always really liked when G.E. Smith was heading the Saturday Night Live band. I always liked their Christmas episodes because they would just do a lot of really horn-heavy instrumental versions of Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I always really liked it a lot, and I sort of wish that there was something like that I could buy, because I would actually put on Christmas music.
Amy Mann put out a Christmas album, I guess a couple years ago, and I just found out about it, and it's pretty damn good. It's worth having it. She's the soundtrack to Magnolia.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
I suppose we should, and go up and see how our guests are doing. We've got Hot Stuff and Sassy Lassie in the house. My wife is entertaining them with Settlers of Catan. But, yeah, we'll be back in 15, folks.
All right.
Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'm watching you. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'm watching you. Oh, can't you see?
Every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every breath you take, every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every breath you take, every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every breath you take, every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Thank you.
And we're back. Sorry, that was fairly abrupt. But, yeah, we're back.
We're back.
Yes.
So that was hard covers of songs?
Not just covers of songs, but they tend to be harder than the original. I really like that cover of Every Breath You Take, because it didn't really speed it up so much as just kind of make it crunchier and angrier. I don't know. I was not impressed with the Everclear cover. Everclear put out a covers album where they took a bunch of songs and made them sound like Everclear.
I see.
So that's pretty much all that Everclear does.
I was talking on, like, this weekend to my wife about why I hate Everclear.
Huh.
And she doesn't understand my... Well, maybe she does. It bothers me that every single song by Everclear that I'm aware of is just... It's not even like a song. It is just a bunch of statements about how he hates his dad for abandoning him. Like,
there's only
it is just
one
the most
song
literal
like that.
Stuff.
There's only one song that's like that. But they... Is it every? I think you're thinking that every song has the same guitar riff and melody.
Yeah. Maybe I just get all of their songs mixed up with
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I forget about that song. I actually kind of like that song. Damn it.
Well, that's Father of Mine and I Will Buy You a New Life and Santa Monica. And
Santa Monica's the one.
Amphetamine Girl and, yeah. Yeah, Santa Monica was a good one, but that was kind of the template, and then they just kind of kept doing it. Kind of like the Red Hot Chili Peppers started... after they wrote Give It Away and Under the Bridge, they're like, we never need to write another song ever again.
Well, I hope my wife's not listening. She's going to be as mad at you as she gets at me when I talk about how all Red Hot Chili Peppers songs sound the same. Have I ever sung for you my quintessential every Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
No, please do.
Okay, here's how it goes. Shitty titty pretty city, shitty titty pretty city, whoa, whoa, California.
Nice, very nice, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, every Red Hot Chili Peppers song. I need to learn how to play it on the guitar, and I need to be, like, plucking out bass notes during the first part, and then just some, like, major chords on the second part.
Yeah, you need to have some kind of slide guitar going on the top end, though. Just kind of random notes.
That's the thing. I don't dislike the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but just everything. Like, I basically, you know, I'd never heard of them until Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out when we were in high school, and then everything since then has sounded exactly the same. That's...
Yeah, it's kind of like the Gin Blossoms, too. Like, I don't find them unpleasant to listen to, but I don't understand why anybody would be, like, excited about them, like, huge fans of them, you know.
Yeah. The guy from the Gin Blossoms were better after they broke up and partly became The Refreshments.
Pretty much. Except that didn't happen at all.
Well, Roger Klein, right? The Peacemakers?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You still don't like the Peacemakers, though, as far as I know.
Well, I mean, I just don't. It doesn't... Even the second Refreshments album just doesn't grab me the way the first one did.
Yeah, I still think that, like the second Cake album, the second Refreshments album rewards repeated listens.
Which is the second Cake album?
Prolonging the Magic, I guess, is actually the third Cake album, but, yeah.
It was the second, like, major label one, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like the first one had songs from both the second and third ones on it.
Hmm.
It was, like, sort of like a demo reel that they saw. Like, I liked Prolonging the Magic better than Fashion Nugget.
And it became my favorite, kind of like Apollo 18 for They Might Be Giants.
It was. I feel like it might be one of those things, though, where whatever the latest album is by a band, when I discover them, is, like, my favorite album by that band.
And after that, it's all downhill.
Although that did not happen with R.E.M. My favorite R.E.M. album is the first one that came out after I got into R.E.M. So, I don't know. I don't know what that means. But I didn't really get into REM until that album came out, so maybe that's the same principle.
Yeah.
the first one that I the first album that I know I'm supposed to look forward to is always the album after my favorite,
and it's always a letdown. Maybe it's
although
just
you know
expectations rise.
John Henry is certainly, I mean, especially on you know looking back, John Henry is like not a disappointment compared to Apollo 18.
Mm.
John Henry is like good.
Yeah, it was kind of the last real, like, the last good They Might Be Giants album. That, I mean, not to say that there was anything wrong, really, with Mink Car or Factory Showroom, but they just didn't sound like They Might Be Giants. They sounded like solo albums.
Man, they were short.
Two halves of a solo album. That conversation could just get deeply nerdy. Because I could say, well,
Apocalypse Throb says.
What does Apocalypse Throb say? Sorry, keep going.
OMFG, TP, Naughty Sorceress, and my Crimbo Crate Doll Hive, thank you. That's cool.
Thank you for killing penguins, as we always intended you to do.
Yeah, because we're lazy sons of bitches.
We wouldn't have to write any more content. That was weird that I got accused of content recycling for that ending, when, like, man, maybe we should change the Crimbo Cafe. Like, yeah, let's just go, like, let's go back to the first year and let's make it as powerful as the first year's food, because people were talking about
it.
Because
it was something
awesome
that people had complained about this year.
And they were like, why did you do that? Why didn't you come up with all new food for us to eat? And you're like, screw you.
You do what we did in the past, was come up with new food that is identical to the old food, instead of just using the actual old food.
Although it ended up being the Matrix-sized food that tastes like chicken.
Yeah, what happened with that?
I don't know. I was surprised when I ate it and it tasted like chicken. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, but...
But I looked it up in the wiki, and that's what it says the original message was.
It wasn't.
That's weird.
In 2000,
I was thinking that information just got lost when Xenophobe switched everything over to the like sort of standardized cafe system.
Mm-hmm. But in 2006, it had the taste like chicken thing because it also had intro text about having a needle inserted in the back of your head.
Oh,
but in 2000, so it was. You were still in the dystopian future. You were just, you know, inside the Matrix eating in the cafe.
I see. But the booze had the same.
Yeah.
Original.
No, the booze still tasted like chicken, too. And in 2005, it didn't.
Weird. I didn't think this year that the booze did taste like chicken. I thought it had actual messages this year.
Well, it does. It has the consume message, and then, oddly enough, it tastes like chicken.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So okay. I guess whatever the consume messages were for those in 2005 are just gone. Now.
They're the same, just without the chicken. I think we just changed them. Actually changed those messages to make the 2006 ones instead of duping them.
Greco says, I would like to confirm the theory that a player's anniversary date changes from year to year. It technically should be mine today, but it isn't. Yeah, it is actually periods of 365 days rather than calendar years that it checks.
Oops. That's kind of weird.
But
then it makes you think that it's kind of weird that everything doesn't work like that.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's a little weird that we don't have... Like, it just seems like kind of a messy system, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some sort of decimal calendar would make a lot more sense. Or maybe there's just no good way to do that. Let's see. Black Arrow says, what would happen if you tried to pulverize a Mr. Accessory or Mr. Store equipment? It wouldn't let you. And then he says, will the other clan dungeon whose entrance was hidden in the stars of the observatory that you mentioned never be revealed? Yeah, that was a joke, Black Arrow. Chemistron says, could chatmons have their name show up in a special color in the list of people in a channel? It would save a lot of is there a mod in here questions and channel hopping to find a mod to ban someone. I've always been reluctant to do that because it's yet another thing that would cause lots and lots of people to want to become mods for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Plus, we've already used the only cool colors that there are. It's weird. I don't ever go on to public chat anymore, so I don't constantly get the OMG, why is your name purple? That I used to.
I was still getting that when I popped in. I'd spend a couple of weeks with normal on, just to kind of, you know. Harem was getting kind of stale, and it needed some new blood, so I went trolling for.
You went trolling for whores in normal?
Yep.
Man.
So people are asking if the burrow grub was purposefully underpowered compared to the other two Christmas gifts. That,
I don't think it's particularly underpowered relative to the.
Christmas presents, no. Relative to the other two, like, the other two have. Like, one has a really useful enchantment, one has a really interesting enchantment. And the burrow grub is kind of. I think we just forgot to throw an interesting enchantment on the burrow grub.
I mean, they were all going to be kind of boring, and then I was like, oh, you know, I'll throw some adventures on this watch. And hey, Mr. Skull had suggested like the to hit bonus on the gun, which somebody initially concluded that it never misses, but that is not true. But it would never miss a scaling monster, which
it virtually never misses.
I don't actually remember what bonus I put on it.
On the burrow grab, just like plus three melee.
No, on the gun. I mean, you know, we could put a to hit bonus for melee attacks on it, or we could put, I don't know. Plus 50% non-combat chance. No. I think that's a monster level on it, I guess. But that's not cool. I mean, it's cool, but it's not cool. The trouble is, something with plus adventures at rollover on it is useful to everyone, right? So, something that, if we have a set of three items, one of which is useful to everyone, two of which are useful to newbies, it's going to seem like the two suck.
Mm-hmm.
To the kind of people who are looking at them and trying to, for the kind of people who are picking them, and I don't know how many people this is. I honestly don't know, like, how many people look at them and say, oh, which one of those is the coolest seeming item, as opposed to looking at it purely based on what it does. Like, I don't know where that breakdown is. It is probably somewhere between what the spreadsheet crowd would have you believe and what we would have you believe, right? Like, yeah. I don't know.
But we were thinking about doing a... Yeah, we were thinking about throwing in maybe a little extra enchantment on the burrow grub.
If we can think of anything. I'll try. I'll listen to a song about burrow grubs as I'm drifting off to sleep tonight, and hopefully the right thing to do will come to me in a dream.
Maybe we could make them all Mimsy.
Right, because Mimsy were the burrow grubs.
Word.
Slavok says... Go ahead.
Rajneeli says, the reward for choosing to kill penguins before Crimbo is that we get to kill penguins after Crimbo. Bugger feature. That would be a feature.
Bugger feature?
Bagger fixture, apparently.
Buggery feature. A bagger vancer. Let's see. Slavic says, good evening. Odd output when you purchase this trophy without a trophy selected. It says you don't meet the requirements for that particular trophy. I think a smart-ass comment would be more appropriate. I think you're right. I think that I could stand to take another look at the code for the trophy hut, because I feel like there is probably some really, really serious inefficiency going on in that shit. Because it just has to check a million tables every time you go in there, because it's checking the availability of every single trophy. I wonder if it's even coded to not bother checking for ones that you already have. ChefBob27 says, what do you guys think of a system where people can lose one ban point for every 3 months of good behavior until it's wiped clean? How would you like to be reminded of your past? I'm reminded of my past all the time. Being reminded of my past is one of the things that convinces me not to be a douchebag in the present, because I know that the future me will be reminded of this past me.
Do you ever think about the future? That was my mother asked Jake that question early in the Kingdom of Loathing development. I think shortly after I quit my job.
Yeah.
I'm saying, do you ever think about the future, Zach? And I think that was a nice way of saying, is my son going to end up homeless because you don't know how to run a company, Zach? But that was such a great way to say it.
I'm thirsty, but I'm not drinking anything right now. If only there was a time in which I could drink something and not be thirsty anymore.
But no, I will always be thirsty. And have to pee. I will always be peeing.
Poncho Sweater says, I know this is a bit late, but you guys finally made a sweater for the game. Thank you. We did it just for you, Poncho.
Poncho was waiting for a sweater? I thought he was waiting for a lefty.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke about Lefty. That's a good song.
Poncho and Lefty? Yeah.
Yep. It's got some weird instrumentation in it, though. Like, I remembered that song from when I was a kid, and then I downloaded it. When it started, I was like, whoa, this is the wrong song. This sounds like some weird late 70s sitcom theme.
That's the problem with songs from the 70s.
They sound like they're from the 70s.
Yeah, the weird thing, you can hear songs from the 60s that if you didn't know it, you wouldn't really catch on that they were from that era. I guess but there's definitely a dated feel to 70s music. In a way that I don't think even the 80s are that dated. Maybe it's because none of that shit caught on. Like that kind of lazy, muted trumpet thing.
Like
the
My
trumpet
Man,
from Mink Car.
Right, yeah. It's got that weird, yeah. It's just this definite, 70s vibe. Cyber34 says, so how many people did Jick send the rations to? How special should I feel for having one? It was either 109 or 119 people that had done that before when I fucked up, and they got their Christmas present and then a little message in brackets that said, give rations here. But I was able to immediately pull up a list and pretty quickly write some code to... I have code that I can just... uncomment in a script that I have where I can take a list of people and send them a K-mail with an item attached, because I've been reusing it to send people con items and stuff. Hmm. So it was really pretty quick. But you know, you can feel pretty special, Cyber34. You're one of only either 109 or 119 people.
I think you should just say 109 people with a 10-point margin of error.
Right. But, I mean, I know it wasn't 99.
Well, it's okay. That's
so it's possible that a bitch was one.
Yes.
A Hero Is Me says, I noticed that you've misplaced the comma in the Psycho Sweater description. It should be after 4 runs, not 3.
Based on the description for the mask? And hey, how come no one says, oh my god, you made the same joke twice when you do it?
What, did I make the same joke twice?
It's in the hockey mask. Hey, I should run away from this psycho killer.
Oh.
Huh. The point is, I have no problem with that, clearly, because I do it all the time, but...
Right. I don't remember...
I always get a bunch of
I don't remember you really catching much shit about that lately.
No.
Also, and I feel like any rational person who says that, hey, you reused this joke twice, we would reply to them, hey, you write 3,600 jokes. And they would say, oh, okay, point taken.
Or no, hey, you write 8 jokes about a penguin.
Right.
Or this, you know, like every attack message for the penguin. So, you know, you write 30 jokes about a penguin and none of them can have the same references in it.
So I've put the commas in 2 different ways, I guess.
But that's all right. We told people to stop moving our commas around.
like stop dragging our hearts around?
Yep. In that particular case, I'm going to go ahead and call Tom Petty. You can be Stevie Nicks.
Okay. Let's see. Primavera Angel here says, when do we get the pirate holiday Ramadan?
You know,
I don't think we're ever allowed to say anything about Muslims, ever.
I was just going to say, given that the Muslim people are known for their sense of humor and irreverence, we should probably cater to that a little bit.
Yeah. Glitterboy says, the Crimbo content rocked. I've never been that involved in Crimbo itself. Sure, the presents aren't amazing, but they're not supposed to be optimal, and the other item drops more than compensated for it. Personally, I think this year's batch of items was the most interesting, and the mechanics were different. Just wanted to let you guys know there are people who appreciate your hard work, especially after reading Mr. S's posts on the forums. It made me a sad panda.
Aw, I'm sorry.
I think you feel better now, don't you, Mr. Skullhead?
Well, yeah, I tried to make it clear later in that thread. Like, in previous Christmases, which... each one of them was the worst one ever, and the last one was the best one ever, and why? How did we fuck up so horribly?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I would actually get kind of butthurt about it, and would feel all, you know, angry and sad, and this time
you didn't get mad, you got even.
This time I didn't get sad, and I didn't get, you know, really emotionally drawn into it and feeling like, well, I just never want to make another Christmas again. It was just like, fuck you guys for complaining. You're fucking wrong, and I'm fucking right. And I'm going to have a blast writing this fuck you post, and then I'm, you know, getting on with my life because you guys are wrong, and fuck you. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't need the, like, it's okay, man, come down from the ledge that I needed previous years.
Yeah, I kind of get a little squicked out by the sort of, like... because when I go in and I... like, when people are complaining and I go in and be like, look, please knock it off. This is lame and it bugs us. Like, I don't really want hundreds of people to come in and say nice things, right? Because, right. Like, that's just... like, I don't feel like we're ever fishing for praise ever.
Right.
And... Having a bunch of people, for the detractors who I would like to reach, having a bunch of people come in, sort of like, you know, I'm not going to say kissing our asses, but just having a bunch of people come in and say stuff like that, it seems like a bunch of people are kissing our asses, and I don't really, like, I feel like that damages our case to a certain extent. So, like, yeah. You know, say nice things about us when it doesn't seem like we're prompting it. Of course, now that I've said that, you know that any time that we're not prompting it, we actually are prompting it, so...
Right, so once you get through the levels of reversals there, you'll figure out what to do. Yeah, and I do kind of feel like one of the criticisms I can't stand is you guys only want people to say positive things about you, and you can't stand it when people criticize you. So, you make this whole post being mad at people who are just trying to provide constructive criticism, and now here comes your army of sycophants to back you up. Like, that stings ever so slightly, but I mean, I know that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I have absolutely no problem with constructive criticism. I frequently ask for it and deal with it pretty well, you know, and... it's like there are times when people leap to our defense that I just don't want them to.
Hmm.
There are, you know, I don't want people to be nice to us no matter what. I want people to just not be assholes. Like, it is okay to disagree. It is crucial to disagree, you know, to get differing opinions out there. It is absolutely necessary to our continued survival as an organization, right? But just... don't be a dick. Don't be a dick. And that's, like, I feel like a lot of what happens is that the kind of person who is very opinionated and therefore is the most likely to want to put forth criticism is also the kind of person that is very opinionated and likes talking about it and probably comes across like a dick in real life, too. Which then gives them more time to come across as a dick on the internet.
Yeah, there's...
Plus, they're virgins.
Yeah. And
all they want to have sex with is spreadsheets. They masturbate to graphs.
Hey, don't make fun of people who masturbate to graphs. Now, there were posts in that thread, like, after I had posted, actually, Istari came in with a post that was a criticism and was fine. He said, you know, you can't have it both ways if you're going to say only people who are really paying attention would think that we were tipping the scales of the game, of the Crimbo thing. Doesn't that mean you were tipping the scales? And, like, that is a criticism and that's a question, and that's something that I answered perfectly reasonably because it was a reasonable question. But just, it's a shame that they're so lazy that they had to recycle content and rig it from the beginning so it never really was this whole event that they said it was. It's just, fuck you, what can you say to that? But fuck you, in various ways.
I mean, it's just the difference between I disagree with this, this is what I would prefer, and I disagree with this, you guys don't know what you're doing. Like,
but you get plenty of that when you're doing the, when you're talking about lag and dealing with various database systems.
Okay. Yeah.
That one thread was enough to make me glad I'm not you.
Which one was that?
It's like, well, your problem with lag is that you're running, that you've programmed your game in PHP. If you had chosen another programming language, it would have been simple to get rid of the lag. PHP is actually perfectly fine for programming a game, despite what this previous guy said. Your problem is that you're running the wrong software architecture. And it's like 12 people saying, well, clearly it's obvious that you've made the wrong choice here, but
right.
Not what the right choice would be or anything that wasn't.
Well, a lot of them
stupid.
Are saying what the right choice would be, but they just don't. They don't know. You know, and that's the problem. Like, that's why it took so long to find a like IT guy that I could actually work with, right? And there is no doubt in my mind that he knows what he's doing, but he also knows how to talk to people instead of just being an evangelist for whatever his pet, you know, Linux distribution is or whatever.
Right.
Like, yeah. Madison14 asks, is there a reason we can't donate through Amazon anymore? I just got a $100 Amazon gift card, and I was upset to find that I can't, really. So Amazon's honor system, which they basically stopped supporting it 2 or 3 years ago. There, as soon as we started using it, there were certain reporting tools on the back end that were just broken links. You would click on this thing that was part of their system, and it would just, you know, take you to a page not found. And it sort of just barely worked. It was down a lot of the time. It was nearly impossible to find. I think you actually had to search for it when you were logged into your account. It was nearly impossible for us to even find it to look at, you know, look at transactions that were coming in and stuff. And then they finally decided to just discontinue it. So there was basically, we took it down because it does not exist anymore. They have something else that we may or may not be able to use. I think we probably will be able to get it set up. And their new thing actually works enough like PayPal that we'll be able to process process donations instantly from Amazon, too. So that'll be a lot of work off of Zly's plate and more immediate gratification for those people who see fit to give us a dollar bill. Dr. Van Van Mojo also points out the I really like the Crimbo event, but there's something about it that's bothering him. What? Did Dr. Van Van Mojo just refer to himself in the third person suddenly?
I don't know, or did
is he talking about somebody else? Having spent thousands of adventures trying to get Uncle Crimbo to pay the penguins what he owed, it's a little jarring to have him thank me for helping him. Still a good event. It's just odd to get messages and rewards that are directly contrary to what I actually did. I mean, you know, this was the first time we tried a global event like this, and I think there are things that we've learned that people aren't going to like no matter what we do, right?
Mm.
Like, we got a lot of crap about, you know, well, you skewed it one direction or the other by introducing enemies with good drops. But at the same time, like, they would have been equally upset, I think, if we hadn't added anything.
Yeah.
If we hadn't shaken it up at all. Right? And they talked about how, well, you were doing a great job in the beginning because there was this parity of drops between the two sides, and so it really did just come down to what people wanted to kill. You know? But the reason that we were able to establish parity between the drops on both sides is because they were all basically equally useless in a real sense of being interesting.
And had we continued with that, I think that there would have been complaints the other way. Like, none of these drops are worth having. And in a year where we specifically didn't want to do yet another round of the same presents that we've done previously.
Right.
I thought it was important to at least have some cool stuff in there. It was weird how many people expressed longing for a glow-in-the-dark teddy bear and a glow-in-the-dark pet rock and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that none of that was in anger. It seemed like they were just sad that they didn't get it. Which means that I should probably quit trying to change the Crimbo event based on feedback that I get from the previous year.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Just whichever bit of feedback you decide to act on is invariably going to run contrary to some other bit of feedback, you know?
Yeah. We could have made the text for the
poster.
We could have made the text for the Crimbo event a little more dynamic had we been keeping track of each individual player in addition to people in general. I figured that people would kind of let that slide, though. That, like, it's funny to say to the elf, wait, you mean all the elves that I've, or all the elves that I've killed to try and help the penguins didn't matter, and the elf getting kind of pissed off at you. And again, that's a funny joke, and it doesn't matter that you didn't actually spend any turns doing that.
Right. Something that I thought of that I kind of wanted to get out there, when people were talking about the ending just suddenly being slapped together, is, like, you guys have to understand that the endings tend to go in on Christmas Eve. And, like, we're people in addition to being game developers, right? So, typically we have shit to do on Christmas Eve and on Christmas. And so, having a really elaborate ending for a Crimbo event means, basically, having to sit around and make sure that everything is working properly. And so we tend to, you know, they tend to fizzle out a little bit at the end and not be all that complicated. And that's, you know, kind of because it's Christmas, right?
Right.
Like, we work hard in November and in the early part of December getting all the stuff ready, and then it's like the ending, I feel like, suffers because it's just something that's happening on Christmas, right? Like, the actual Crimbo event tends to be, at least in my mind, like, what happens during the first couple of weeks of it, and then that's, you know,
that's,
everything else.
Yeah. That's how I always think of it, is that the Crimbo event is not a build-up leading to something giant that happens on Crimbo. It's never been.
It is definitely the journey and not the destination.
Or it's just the Crimbo event is the 2 weeks of weird stuff that happens when the town shows up. But what happens on actual Crimbo is that you get your present. That's what happened on the first couple. And I tried to point out to people, because they were saying that, and I know that the trolls don't make any sense and I shouldn't try to argue with them, but they were saying that, like, Crimbo 2005... is the gold standard for how Crimbo ought to be.
Which one was 2005?
It was the very first one.
Was it a time travel one?
No, it was the very first one where you could fight for the elves or fight for the reindeer. So you had one zone, six monsters, the introduction of the crafting stuff. But the ending of that, we forgot that it had to end. So we threw in a paragraph on the front page that said, Crimbo Town has faded back into the mists, and the whole labor dispute that you've been fighting for this whole time was resolved in meetings, where they gave some concessions to the elves. But then we kind of retconned that a little in 2006, but it was seriously like a paragraph of not very informative stuff, and Crimbo Town just fucking vanished.
Yeah.
2006.
And there
was
wasn't an
kind
advent calendar that year.
Yeah.
Maybe there was. Maybe 2005 was the first advent calendar.
And 2006 had a similar. Like, well, everybody hated 2006 for everything. It, you know, it was boring. It didn't have enough content. It, you know, the ending of that was pretty abrupt, although that wasn't something that was mentioned then. But then 2006, a lot of people said, was their favorite. 2007 had
Which
more of an ending, but
the
time travel.
Wait, was 2006... Was the time travel and the Linnea one the same year? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what was that.
Crimboween was 2006. 2007 had more of an ending, but it was because it had more of a spot to put an ending in the adventures.
Yeah.
So just 2006 was really narrative heavy, an event, and
yeah, but it was also very railroad. Yeah, I mean, everyone went in there, did the exact same things in the exact same order, and got the exact same items.
Yeah.
Like, so it was, you know.
And people asked, did you guys keep track of how many people wanted to save Father Crimbo so that the event could change? And I was like, that's it. That's what we'll do next year. And people will hate it.
Hey, it's 9 o'clock.
No, it's not. It's 10 o'clock. Yeah, we can get off the radio if you'd like.
Hmm. Do you have a check-in?
I have a check-in. We got Deculamon Spec. And
check-in to cash. Check-in to cash.
All right, we'll see you next week, folks.
Good night.